Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on your updates tonight. And I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll make the lame joke. I'll do it. We've also denied the Knicks permission to talk to us for their coaching vacancy. We're up to five coaches now. The Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau and then don't have a plan about who they want to hire. Now, I have seen people spin it the other way, that the Knicks are just doing their due diligence. And it's smart for the Knicks to reach out and maybe get some intel on some of these teams or just cast the wide net, you know? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So before you just hire Johnny Bryant, why not go ahead and just see if any person that's already got a job wants to come on over to the New York Knicks? I've seen that argument. I tend to think that they made a quick reaction decision and they didn't have an exit plan. And now they don't have a plan. So I bring this up because we found out today there's two more names on the list of guys that the Knicks have contacted the organizations that they work for to try to bring them in for at least an interview. Dallas's Jason Kidd, we knew of that. Chris Finch of Minnesota was another one. Ime Udoka of Houston was a third. And then today, there was a report that Quinn Snyder, they asked about his availability in Atlanta. And also Billy Donovan, who Carlos basically pleaded for them to request yesterday, is now the fifth name on that list. The Knicks have been denied permission to speak to any and all of them this week for their coaching vacancy. It's to the point here where if they haven't asked your team, like, you know, in Milwaukee, people are like, can you ask Doc Rivers, please? And maybe swing a little deal for him. But if the Knicks aren't asking your coach, then it's like, wow, this is almost insulting in a way if they don't want you, because they have been reaching out to a large number of coaches. Many of these playoff teams or at least play-in teams. So very interesting strategy from the Knicks. Not really used to seeing it play out this way. And maybe there's some back channel stuff that does happen, but this is all very public here. It's just odd. It's odd too, because the Knicks are a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals and are set up to have some success. You know, they're still, you could say, working on the chemistry that they've been working on all season as they added Bridges, beginning of the offseason, Towns, end of the offseason. They've got a wide open East with injuries galore in that conference and really no front runner. I mean, the Pacers are in the finals and currently have a slight lead at halftime. We'll get into that. So they'll be a contender. The Cavs will be a contender. But, you know, Boston has got their injury, and they'll probably make some deals. Milwaukee's lost Damian Lillard, and they're going to go as far as they can probably on the back of Giannis Antetokounmpo because he is not leaving. I'm telling you again for the 1,000,000th time. But the Knicks also are in a position where they're the only vacancy. And so maybe they think we don't need to rush things. We can make sure that we unturn every stone, that the perfect guy is out there and we're not going to rush into a bad decision. Now, the NBA draft, believe it or not, is 2 weeks from tonight, at least round one. You'd like to have a coach in by then. It's not a requirement, but you like to, and we'll probably see some activity, some trades, some flurry of moves either that week or leading up to it, certainly after as well, with then free agency and everything that that offseason period usually brings in the NBA, where we talk about how the offseason's better than the season itself. So, I mean, you'd rather have a coach than not, I think, right? Can we agree on that? You'd rather have a coach than not, but it does feel like they just quickly ripped off the Band-Aid, but the wound is, you know, not, it's still, it needs to heal. They did this way too quickly. And it does seem like it was an emotional, reactionary move. But again, I'll listen. You know, if you want to say that the Knicks are actually playing chess when we're all playing checkers, or that it's some sort of galaxy brain situation, I'll listen. I'll give you a non-zero chance that this could all work out for them. But right now, they do appear to be misled at this point. And they do appear to be doing the wrong thing. The NBA Finals in action here. We're just getting underway in the second half. 64-60. The Pacers do have a lead. They led for less than 2 minutes total coming into this game. Took a lead in the second quarter, and it did get tied again, but they haven't given back that lead. 40 points in the second quarter for the Pacers. Big night for a couple of guys off the bench so far. Benedict Mathurin with 14 points at halftime, and TJ McConnell, very active, 4 assists, 3 steals, 6 points there in the first half. Kind of a slow start for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the league MVP, 12 points. Typically, he's averaging about 35, 36 points a game. So he will need to get going a little more. Has been trying to facilitate, but just 12 points for him. Chet Holmgren with 15 to lead the way for the Thunder at half. Jalen Williams with 11. Again, on the other side, Halliburton 12, and Siakam got off to an early start and ended with 13. So the game now tied at 64. We'll keep our eye on it. And then, of course, talk things through after the game is concluded. Tyrese Halliburton is featured in this game, as you know. And as you know, he was voted the most overrated player in all of the NBA. That came as the result of a poll done by The Athletic. We've referenced it a few times. This poll was done anonymously. So guys in the league were given the chance to do it. They didn't have to. There was no repercussion for not doing it. There was no reward. Sometimes you get those survey links like, hey, if you fill out this survey, we'll give you a $5 card to Amazon. There's not one of those that I delete. I bank off $5 gift cards to Amazon. I've never saw a survey I didn't like, okay? If it offers me a nickel online, I'll do it during a commercial break. I'll answer 30 questions about my shopping experience at Aldi for 45 cents from Swag Bucks. Yeah, I'll do it. And I'll fill out these surveys. But there was no reward. There was no repercussion either for the survey. And again, when Tyrese Halliburton was voted most overrated, he was voted most overrated by 13 people. Only 90 players answered that question on the survey. And of the 90, 13 chose Halliburton. There were like 11 that chose Gobert and 9 that chose Trae Young. But 13 was the most for any player. And then the most overrated moniker was born, which then led to Tyrese Halliburton turning into the most clutch player of our time, and somehow in some weird way still actually may be overrated with the amount of praise that he's getting for these playoffs. I'll certainly give him the benefit of the doubt on the clutch part, but Mans wasn't even Eastern Conference Finals MVP on his own team, so let's not crown him as one of the all-time greats here just yet. But on the heels of that, it's now been unveiled, the MLB anonymous player survey. So we'll see what kind of trouble the league gets into or players get into because of this. Some of the more interesting ones of this survey. Bruce Bochy, the manager that most players would like to play for, that was 121 respondents, 20 players voted for him of the Texas Rangers. Terry Francona with the Reds, second. And then Stephen Vogt of the Guardians and Craig Counsell of the Cubs coming in at 9. The The players also were asked about robotic umps. Do they want robotic umps? And a lot of players don't. So 17% of the respondents said, yeah, I would take it. 20%, not sure yet. 64% just don't like it. And I think that's a good way to look at this debate that we'll continue to have, and they're going to try to bring in some sort of replay system in the coming years. But we can talk about it as fans, what we want, but what are the players most comfortable with? I think for so long, you've had balls and strikes being called by a person at the backstop. And when you grow up in baseball, you're going to have a player or a person, an umpire, a human being at every level calling that, and then you're going to get to the pros, and it's just going to be a guy standing there to tell you what a computer said. And you can't argue with the computer, and there's going to be errors with the computer. Okay, we think robotic umps means 100% accuracy in balls and strikes. They've used it, one player said, in the minor leagues, and sometimes it bounces off the plate and then hits the strike zone, and the computer can't tell. Another player is like, it does not give you the high zone at all. Some catchers don't like that. It eliminates the art of framing when you're framing a catch to try to make it look like it was in the strike zone, even if it was just off the corner. I do still like, with the strike zones, having to kind of figure out just where exactly the rigid edges of the box are, depending on the umpire. Now, I don't want a guy that is terrible, and if an umpire is bad, he shouldn't be calling balls and strikes anymore. But to have a little bit of variance in how an umpire might see the strike zone, I don't think is the worst thing in the world. Baseball's got 30 parks, and they're all different. I don't understand why you want to take out this variable either. The lead argument behind it is that balls and strikes should never be wrong. You should be right all the time. And there's some umpires that we have seen that call balls and strikes so horrendously. I mean, when there's a horrific call, we see it. That's one of the few things that permeate through the shared culture that we sometimes still have. If there's a bad call in a baseball game, and if there's a bad first pitch, that's usually what we'll see. If there's a great home run snag like the other night, we might see that. If there's like a multi-home run game or no hitter, you could hear about that. But if there's a really bad first pitch by a celebrity, we will all see it. And if there is a bad call from an umpire when it comes to balls and strikes, we will all see that as well. So it is interesting that I think more fans, I mean, the from fans, it's going to be more than 17% yes, the idea of robo-umps calling balls and strikes. I want to say any poll I've seen has been at least 50-50, and maybe even in favor from fans. But players, at least the ones in this survey, 65% saying that they do not want robo-umps to call the balls and strike behind the plate. This one, a little more overwhelming, and it's not a surprise. Has legalized sports betting changed how fans treat you or your teammates? 80% say yes. And that's been one of the really bad unintended consequences or maybe side effects of this era that we're in where, you know, you're watching this game right now. Are you watching for the game or are you watching to see if Andrew Nembhard hits his over or under? Is that what you're watching for? And then if he doesn't hit what you bet, do you then go to his social media and send him a message? And sometimes using harmful language. And sometimes saying that you're going to, like, physically hurt him. Which you're not going to do, but sometimes people say it. To be an athlete, to have a bad game, you know, it's one thing to have a bad game and then to go into the locker room and kind of live with that. But then to open up your social media and see people that say, I think it feels different. When a fan says, because that's happened forever, you know, a fan might say, you suck, you cost our team the championship. You know, you're going to get that. But that I feel like is more easy to deal with than you cost me the last leg of my $20 parlay. I feel like that's a little annoying. And then one other question in the survey done by The Athletic to the players was they stopped asking who is the best player in the league, because that's Shohei Ohtani. So they said, who do you most like to watch play? And then that was still Shohei Ohtani getting 29 of the 135 votes. Other guys include Bobby Witt Jr., Ronald Acuna, Ellie De La Cruz, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge on the list as well. So some interesting results there. Certainly nothing too crazy. Got to feel good for you know, the managers and players that are on these lists when they see this. But really, I think the most newsworthy item is that we could talk about Robo Umps all we want, and we will. And we'll continue to have that conversation until they're eventually here. But if you ask the players, at least in this sample size, 60% of them are not ready to have that happen in their sport. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll talk some more baseball coming up here. Take a look at some of the teams that are doing much better than we thought they would, but then again, some of the teams doing much worse. Greg Caserta, MLB Network, will join us straight ahead. 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. Last night, we did our first, we'll revisit this, but we did our World Series draft. Take a team to go to the World Series. Carlos took the Dodgers first pick. I took the Yankees. Carlos went with the Mets. Then I went with the Cubs and the Tigers, who were in first place as of last night in all of baseball, the best record. Mets overtook them again tonight. Were fifth, but they may be one of the more interesting stories in the league right now. Joining us to talk about that and baseball in general, probably a one-third of the way through the season check-in here. We're getting into it. Greg Caserta, MLB Network. Good to talk with Greg again. How have you been, sir? How are you enjoying the season?
The Tigers fifth? You guys are killing me, man. I would have picked them first. They're my favorite team right now. But it's in all seriousness, it's good to be with you, Bart. It's been a while since you and I have spoken, and I apologize because I was supposed to be on with you a couple of weeks ago, but things got a little twisted around on my end. So far, like you said, we're about 70 games in. We're approaching the halfway point, and now you're actually starting to check on the wild card standings, and you're starting to pay attention a little bit more to wins and losses. So we're gearing up for a big push to the All-Star break, and there's really no better time right now for a baseball fan.
So what is it with these Tigers? I think that they've been a team that, you know, through the draft, they've been waiting for guys to get to this point and to be this good. It's always fun when you're a team that can follow guys through the minors and then get this to pay off. But with this league right now, you know, the Cubs have been good. The Yankees have been good. The Dodgers have been good. There's teams that we expected to be atop the league. Are the Tigers, I'll just ask you simply, are they a team that we think can actually go deep in October?
Yeah, because they proved it last year. They went on an improbable run. They end up going to the postseason and winning a round. And now you're starting to see the A.J. Hinch effect take over now over the course of 2+ years. And what, to me, separates them from the rest of the good teams that are out there right now, and that's not knocking the pick that you guys made in your draft, a la the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Yankees, what have you, and the Mets. But to me, the Tigers are the one team that has not had a glaring flaw since opening day. They've done everything well. They've played defense. They've had the rotation. They've had a really good bullpen, despite what happened to Camden Yards tonight. And their lineup, even though it might not be as sexy as some of the other ones, it's really effective. And I think that when you look at them, they have been the strongest team since opening day. They really have not hit a lull. And they're going to be really active at the deadline. So what they need to address, that remains to be seen. You know, you worry about Casey Mize tiring a little bit. I think we've seen that his last 3 or 4 starts. He was okay tonight. And you always have to worry about the guys that you talked about that they had groomed for these big roles getting hurt. They're guys with injury histories. But I think that the Tigers right now, pound for pound, are the best team. To me, they're certainly the most exciting team to watch. And the Cubs are not that far behind. They just need more pitching.
Greg Caserta joining us, MLB Network here on the Bart Winkler Show. The American League, it's the Tigers, and then it's the Yankees, and it's kind of like bunched up then from there with the Blue Jays and Astros and Twins. Even a team that's been struggling, like, you know, the Red Sox, they're two games under, but they're not that far out of things. Again, there's a lot of time left. We're going to get to the trade deadline. We'll see what teams decide to do, buyer or seller-wise. Who do you think emerges as maybe that third best team in the American League, besides Detroit, then besides New York?
You know, it would have to be between the Astros and the Blue Jays right now. And it's an obvious choice because the Astros seemingly are always there. They have this winning culture that even without Tucker and even without Yordan Alvarez, they've climbed back into first place in the AL West. It just seems to be a place where they're comfortable. The big surprise to me is Texas. I really thought the Rangers were going to be back in championship form. That has not been the case this year, despite a really good starting rotation. This lineup has really, really faltered. And the Blue Jays finally have a bullpen. What a novel idea. This team that was a sexy pick for a couple of years, really bottomed out last year. They go and make a big splash for Anthony Santander, who has not really made that much of an impact for them this year. But their bullpen has been lights out. I think since May 1st, they have one of the best bullpen ERAs in the sport. And that's something that can go a really long way. So I think that Toronto right now is a wild card, very dangerous. Obviously, the AL West is still up for grabs. But, I would say that Toronto right now is a pretty nice pick for a team that you really didn't expect much of coming into the season.
We were talking yesterday and then, you know, just bringing up here the teams that we picked in our little World Series draft. That was yesterday. I will tell you that when we did our preseason predictions, I put the Orioles as my American League representative in the World Series. They are 27-39. Between them and a similar record in Atlanta, is there a team that, like, you're more surprised that they're having a struggle to start the season? I mean, to start, we're, like you said, 70 games through, but I think the Braves started off very poorly, and we thought, oh, no, they'll figure it out. They haven't. Baltimore just can't seem to do anything right.
The Braves, to me, are the much bigger surprise, Bart, and I say that because I didn't expect a whole lot from the Orioles this year. I looked at their pitching, and I thought there's no way that this team is going to be 500. So once in a while, you get those things right. The Braves shocked me. Not that I picked them to win the NL East. I have the Phillies winning the division. The Mets are starting to really show what they are. That's a really good team. They won their fifth in a row tonight over the Nationals. They're pitching. Their lineup is very top-heavy, so they're going to need to add a few bats at the deadline to balance out the bottom half of the order. But the Braves, to me, are shocking because their rotation, you get Strider back. Okay, you have Chris Sale, the reigning Cy Young winner. So right there, you have a potent 1-2. And then you look at this lineup, which is largely intact from the World Series team from 2022, and these are guys that are all in the primes of their careers. These are guys that when they sign these team-friendly deals, you looked at the Braves as a contender for the next 5 to 10 years. And for whatever reason, there has been a major drop-off with a lot of these guys. Ozzie Albies got off to a brutal start. Michael Harris II for the last 2 years has seen a major drop-off at the plate. This was a guy that was a rookie of the year. Obviously, getting Acuna back helps things, and he looks just as good as he ever did since he returned about 2.5 weeks ago. But for whatever reason, there's been a disconnect in Atlanta. And, you know, there's individuals that you can point out, but it just seems like Brian Snitker's magic has run out. I know that there have been some guys around work that keep wondering if he's going to make it through the season. I think that that's a foregone conclusion because it's the last year of his deal. He's a Braves lifer who delivered them a World Series, so I don't see them parting ways with him. But to me, they have been a major surprise because they just haven't been able to get anything going whatsoever.
All right, well, if I'm going to ask you about bad teams, I might as well ask you about the Colorado Rockies, who did sweep Miami last week, so that was good. Have not won a game since. They're leading, though, right now, the Giants in the sixth, so that's pretty good for the Rockies. This is a team, like, you know, as bad as it is, teams have bad seasons. And, you know, the White Sox last year was historically bad. The Rockies on pace to do worse. But I think from what I've read and seen about the Rockies, it's not like, oh, they have this guy they can trade, they have this guy they can trade, and we could have, you know, somewhat of a process of a rebuild. It seems like it might be bad in Colorado for a while.
It's going to be. I don't see any other way around it. I know that they have Ezekiel Tovar, who's a really good shortstop on a really historically bad team. They've got guys like Hunter Goodman and Brenton Doyle, guys that would slot in somewhere. But these are not guys that you build around. And it's just an unbelievable process that they've got going on there. The fact that Bud Black got fired was shocking to me. I thought he would have that job for life. But it's a player development pipeline that is really not that good. They don't really have guys coming up. I know that we heard about Chase Dolander this year, their top pitching prospect. He's been hurt a little bit, so we haven't seen a whole lot of him. But there's really not a whole lot to look at because there's really no track record. You know, since their last playoff appearance, it's gotten worse and worse and progressively worse. And there's no vision to make it better. That's what's alarming. Some teams you look at and you say, all right, there's a plan there. You saw it with the Orioles. And the bottom line is, when you get all these high draft picks, you have to hit, to use the phrase, I hate to say it, but you have to hit home runs. You know, you have to hit on guys like Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman if you're the Orioles. You have to nail your top picks, and there's really been nobody that they've been able to draft and select and develop that has become a superstar. They're still married to this Chris Bryant contract, which is awful. They have a rotation. You look at some of the ERAs for guys like Erman Marquez and Kyle Freeland and Antonio Senzatella. I know that we're grading on a curve because it's Coors Field and ERAs are always higher there, but there's nothing to be excited about. And I say it probably two or three times a week whenever I'm in the studio. I feel really bad for Rockies fans. But here's the thing. When you look at their attendance, they're usually middle of the pack. The ballpark's in a great location in a great city. People still go to the games. And as long as that happens, I think that ownership is content with putting a subpar product on the field because they're still making a good chunk of change at the end of the day.
The trade deadline coming up, you know, it's not like immediately around the corner, but it's close enough that we could talk about it on the radio. Are there like big names that we should expect? And are they all going to go to the Dodgers?
It's a good question. With the Dodgers, I think that they're obviously going to be in play for a guy like Sandy Alcantara, which is the biggest name that's been floated around. But if you look at Alcantara this year, he's been really bad. He has not had a good year. You know, he's the biggest pitcher name that we've heard pop up. And the Dodgers desperately need starting pitching because of all the injuries in their rotation. They've used more bullpen innings than any other team in baseball. So you know that they're going to be hunting a starter at the deadline. They hit it with Jack Flaherty last year. They were able to make that work. And now we're going to see what they do this coming deadline. But you look at, let's say, the American League. You look at guys like Cedric Mullins and Yandy Diaz, guys that are on expiring contracts for teams. I think Ryan O'Hearn has a similar situation with the Orioles. So those are the types of names that are going to get moved. There's really no sexy, unquestioned top guy right now. Alcantara would have been that guy had he been, reverting to Cy Young form, but he has not been that since coming back from the injury. So unless he turns the corner here in the next 5 to 6 weeks leading into the deadline, you're going to hear different names, but it's not like years past where there's always that number one prized guy. Because you also have to remember the Dodgers, the best move that they made last year was Tommy Edman, and nobody thought that was going to be much of anything. He ends up being a playoff hero and he gets a huge extension from them as a result. So it really is more about the quality of what you do, because we've thought teams have hit it out of the park with some of the moves they've made, and sometimes they just don't work out. So we'll definitely have a clearer picture, and if I'm lucky enough to be on with you down the road, we'll definitely have a much more clear conversation about the big names that'll be on the move.
Yeah, I think we can book that at some point. Greg Caserta joining us here, MLB Network. Good to catch up with you, Greg. Be well. Keep doing great stuff, and we will talk again.
Thank you, my friend. Good being back with you, and keep an eye on your producer, because when I'm out with him, he's a problem, and I say that with love. I say that with love. I love Carlos with a K, and I'm happy that you guys have linked up. It's a pleasure to be on with you, and I look forward to the next one.
All right, thanks. Greg Caserta joining us. Some nice words for Carlos Ortiz. You know, when I was on with Maggie and Perloff the other day, they couldn't stop raving about you either. Look at this guy.
I call shenanigans on that one.
No, Maggie specifically gushed about you.
Really? When was this so I can go back and listen to it and inflate my ego?
She said, did you mean inflate your ego?
That's what I said.
She gushed about you. She said, oh, we love Carlos.
Still waiting for you to tell me when that was.
Last week? Dude,
You don't know when you were on?
Thursday?
It's a good thing I have the free Odyssey app that you can download anywhere you get your apps from.
Last Wednesday.
All right, thanks. I can go look at the podcast write-ups on that free Odyssey app that you can download anywhere you get your apps from.
Hey, when do I get to meet this version of Carlos that everybody thinks is so great?
Well, you work with him every day. I'm awesome.
You are. All right, we have 3 quarters expired in the Thunder and Pacers game. I won't spoil it for you. We have an update for that reason. And in tonight, once again, here's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants of the Super Bowl 42 champion. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. Wherever you hear me, that's the correct way to hear me. That's about as perfect as a landing as I can make. It is Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and God, do I need another Giants Super Bowl call in my lifetime. Then you could just put me in the dirt wherever I'm standing. Let's start here, Bart. This Phoenix Suns, they did indeed hire a new head coach. It came down to Jordan Knott and Johnny Bryant, which presumably was supposed to get the Knicks job. We don't know what's going on there. Jordan Knott's your man in Phoenix, and he's got some work ahead of him. They may be trading KD. That's pretty much all but done. Bradley Beal, nobody wants that contract. But hey, Devin Booker is a legit superstar, and Jordan Knott did speak about Devin Booker here at his introductory press conference.
He's in his prime, ready to rock. And again, we need to help him. And that's my job as the coach, to help him in multiple areas, help him find solutions so he knows that he has us behind him. Make or miss, end the game on the line, make or miss, we're behind him.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's getting traded. That's happening. So Devin Booker is their guy. Bradley Beal is untradeable. And it's just going to be a really tough revamping of this roster, which they sunk a lot of money into. They were very excited about the roster. I didn't really think that it was ever going to be that good. I mean, they all kind of play the same position, the three guys, a little bit. But you want them to at least do the same thing. These are, you know, off-ball shooters. These are guys that you get the ball to and then score 30 points a night. It didn't work. Also, Bradley Beal got not that good. So the Suns are going to have to regroup. Devin Booker is going to have to be the guy they build around. Good luck. I'm not very optimistic about their chances going forward. So we'll see Jordan Knott, what he can do with Matt Ishbia's team that 26 others would kill to trade their whole franchise for.
I wonder if Jordan Knott will be made available
for the Knicks to request permission with.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, you never know. That ink might not be dry yet. Let's go to the NFL. Let's go to Pittsburgh, where everybody was mad about Aaron Rodgers. And by mad, I mean, you know, just madly in love with the fact that he spoke because we had audio for days.
Remember, he's not really married. I don't believe he's really married.
It's a wedding ring, but never actually said the word married. Well, let's hear from somebody else other than Aaron Rodgers. Here's his new wide receiver one, DK Metcalf. He spoke about what he learned about Aaron Rodgers during their offseason workouts together.
Just how cerebral he is and how he views the game. I like the way he views the game, from a receiver standpoint, but also from a quarterback standpoint. I think I can gain a lot of knowledge just from being around him because he's seen a lot of football. So just trying to soak up as much information in the ball as I can.
He does have a lot of knowledge. There's no question about it. Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of football knowledge go through and retain in that brain. I think the issue has been, and this is why there's been an issue with younger receivers, so it would extend to new receivers too, is that I don't know that he does the best job communicating, and I don't know that he can. He knows so much. He's seen so much. Sometimes formation will come up or some coverage will come up, and in his head, he immediately can think, oh, this is what I need to do. This is when I exploited this one time, but it was like 8 years ago. And so how do you look at DK Metcalf and say, do that? How do you plan for those situations? So it's going to be about communication for him. He can't telepathically tell these guys what to do. I feel like he still tries to do that sometimes. So it's going to come down to communication. Reps are great. Glad they got some, but it's going to come down to communication. That's the key.
All right. We talked about earlier Nick Chubb joining the Houston Texans. He got a one-year deal worth about up to $5 million. Side note here, Bart. Yesterday you were kind of dragging Yahoo Sports about using AI to write articles. When you Google Nick Chubb, Yahoo Sports' first article comes up. Former Browns all-pro running back Nick Chubb signs 10-year deal with Texans. And I almost lost my mind. I'm like, what? 10 years? Are you insane? Is he running back and then transitioning to a wide receiver and then transitioning to a strength and conditioning coach? Because no one gets a 10-year deal. Well, yeah, I guess AI just really doesn't know how to like iron things out. But it is a one-year deal, $5 million. And Nick Chubb, he spoke. He says he feels good after all of his severe injuries.
I would say that's all behind me. And, injuries happen. And with what I did, it takes about 2 years to really get back. And so I'm over the hump. I'm back home. I was back home all off-season training where I trained, every year since I was in high school. And I was able to get a full year in of doing the things that I do best. And so now I'm feeling good as I have been in a long time.
I am curious to see how much they use him and what the split ends up being between him and Joe Mixon. Because Joe Mixon's run pretty well for them since he went over there from Cincinnati. And now getting another guy from the AFC North and another good runner, but again, there's been injuries, so you wonder, it's fair to wonder what you're going to get out of Nick Chubb, but he says he's good. They also drafted Woody Marks, running back in the fourth round out of USC, and then Damian Pierce is still on that roster too, who had been their starter before they went and got Mixon. So they've got some guys that they can utilize. I'm interested to see if they all are still there week one, and then between Chubb and Mixon, how that backfield shakes out.
All right, well, let's go from the newest running back in Houston to the current running back in Buffalo, and that's James Cook. He did appear at the team's mandatory minicamp. Despite an ongoing dispute over a new contract, Cook is looking reportedly for $15 million a year. He had 16 rushing touchdowns last regular season. That tied him with Derrick Henry and Jahmyr Gibbs. So he's trying to get paid as much as everybody else wants to get paid. I can't blame him on that. Josh Allen, his quarterback, speaks about James Cook's contract situation.
I love Jimbo. I think the whole team does. And, he's one of the best backs in the league. And, hopefully that can be reflected soon. And but again, just props for him to be here and show out like that. So very proud that he's here.
Going to talk a little bit about some of these guys that are holding out. More so on the defensive side of the ball, but the Cook situation is one that Buffalo does need to get resolved. One of the issues with them, I've thought, for the last few years is they make Josh Allen do all the work. And Josh Allen, he'll vulture running back touchdowns and score rushing touchdowns in the red zone. That's great. But they do need a consistent back. They've got one to help even out that attack. And so I hope that things work out for both parties in Buffalo.
All right. And one last one here. Let's actually go to the baseball diamond. Let's talk about the Dodgers. You know, we took them in our draft, or I did. They were my first pick because of that a vast amount of resources in that war chest that they have. But they got a lot of injuries. They pretty much have an all-star roster of pitchers that are on the injured list. One of those guys that might be coming back before the all-star break, surprisingly, is Shohei Ohtani. He threw 44 pitches, three simulated innings. And Dave Roberts says Ohtani doesn't actually really need a full buildup in order to get back onto the mound. This is courtesy of Dodger Blue.
It certainly doesn't have to be a full buildup, right? Because anything that he can give us is certainly going to be additive. But I still stand by him and, you know, Dr. Delatrosh and the training staff. They're going to drive this. So I'm just anxious for the next one.
Well, hope to see him back on the mound. There's nothing greater. And when the Dodgers come to town and Shohei's pitching, that is a game that you have to take off work, drop everything, and go see, because it is quite a sight to behold. I've never seen it, but I'm sure it's pretty cool. I love inside jokes. I'd love to be a part of one someday. The Pacers nursing a lead here. We're going to do this again. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.